We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. Jeff Erickson here with Pete Overzet from his YouTube channel and from the Fantasy Life newsletter. If you play any sort of best ball and underdog, I'm sure you've come across him at some point in time. Pete, thank you so much for joining us today. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Are you in those underdog best ball streets as well?
I'm dabbling in. I'm starting to wade in now. I'm a little late adapter as far as that goes. I do baseball too, so I always am way behind the crowd on that.
Yeah. Well, I will say they recently added a naming feature where you can go back and name your drafts so you can kind of, you know, keep track of them. And I was tabbing through a lot of my drafts and some of them not looking so pretty, you know, a couple months later. So your right. strategy of waiting until the season starts might work out for you.
Yeah. I mean, I like doing early drafts. I've done it like a couple of NFFC drafts and all that. I'm more of a season long guy than I am a best ball guy. That's always been my bias. But you know what the thing is? I do love best balls. It's great just because you just draft. Drafting is the best part of the fantasy experience. But I love being able to do more. I just haven't done enough. And I know underdog, like Mario Puig for us, does a ton of them for us. I did co-hosted the SiriusXM show with him today on that. But so he's waited in those streets a lot more than I have. You might have run across him a lot.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they start to feel like friends and family drafts. Lots of familiar faces in there.
Yeah, I see Davis Maddock all the time and all yeah. that. He's been a frequent guest on our show. So, you see a lot of that going on there. It's always fun to get going on the draft. So, I've got a huge layover coming up next week on a flight. So, I'm going to probably squeeze in a few there. And I'm just getting up to speed for that. So, you're going to help me. So, I'm looking forward to that.
Sounds awesome.
And you've been killing it with the Fantasy Life newsletter now daily. And I love seeing that every day in my inbox there. And it's good stuff there, especially because it's, ESPN and RotoWire and Matthew Berry and all that. We've been involved in the RotoPass venture for a long time. So happy to see that connection to all that there.
Yeah, for sure. It's I was very thankful that we started going daily because I was doing it every other day and I was, scrolling through, checking up on the news, reading the sites. And there was so much information once training camp started that it was like, all right, we need to do this daily now. Yeah. Otherwise, the fire hose of information, it's blasting right now.
How do you apply a sieve to it there to get out what the good stuff is and stop instead of like overreacting to the panic news? Because I see that happening all the time this type of year.
Yeah, this is the first year of actually there's the RotoWire blurbs and I read those and then I like clicking through to the source material as well. I would say the two things that I think are the most actionable are I really like this new wave of some of these beat reporters actually charting usage. So Elliot Shore Parks for the Eagles the other day.
Yes, had through he's 10, great.
Yeah, through 10 practices, the actual touches and catches for all the running backs. I think that's extremely valuable. And then just injury stuff, I think is also, concrete information. When I see a guy like, Rashad Bateman now being out, I think that's meaningful to what that does to the offense and the ADPs. So those are the things we can hang our hats on. The stuff I try to avoid is one player saying another player looks great, a player saying he's in the best shape of his life. Team depth charts, which are literally just done by interns often on there. So if we can ignore the noise and focus on the little nuggets, we can get some good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Let's start with Bateman because that's a big one there. I liked all the reports I was seeing on him, although that's what the reports, but, you know, finally giving, you know, Lamar his number one receiver, perhaps. And now he's got this groin injury. He's out week to week. You never like seeing that. It's sometimes that means like 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. It really depresses his draft stock in both, I would guess, in best ball and in season long.
Yeah, I think so too. I think maybe if you get a discount in best ball, it's a little more palatable. Like if he falls to, you know, let's say the 14th, 15th round, which I haven't seen him going there yet. Hopefully he gets there so I can get some more cheap shares. But yeah, I'm with you in managed leagues. Unless you have an IR spot, I mean, that's such a tough hold. And we saw it last year with a guy like Jalen Reagor. He started the season and then quickly got hurt. And it just took him so long to get back up to speed because it's not even just going through the rehab. It's then getting on the field and earning targets in a low volume pass offense. It was already a tight, you know, needle to thread. And I'm really worried the deck is kind of stacked against him now.
Yeah, I think so too. The one thing I will say is I'm going to buy the dip in my dynasty league if it comes to me in the second round. That's where I really want to swoop in.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, the long game, nothing has changed here for Rashad Bateman. And he is shaping up to be one of those, you know, buy the dip in the second year, buy the dip in Dynasty. But I'm afraid we might have to let him go for redraft.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right, too. Zach Moss hurt his hamstring. You know, he's coming back off the ankle surgery over the offseason. There were a lot of rave reviews in camp about him. As Mario was bringing up to on the show today, though, it's like the whole Buffalo context depresses his stock to begin with, just because it's hard for running backs to score well on a regular basis. You know, there'll be games where he'll have his moments, but it's hard to get that many touches from him. And this really, I think, sets him back a little bit.
Yeah, it does. And it's a different injury. You know, it was the ankle that ended his season last year. Now this is a hamstring. Those things can get, you know, re-agitated so easily that hamstrings really scare me. And yeah, it puts Devin Singletary in focus. I didn't even mention this in the newsletter, but I think Matt Breida should be on the radar a little bit as the running back three. He's reportedly having a good camp and has had some juice. Like he's a explosive player. So yeah, I think Singletary has been underpriced even before this Zach Moss stuff. You can get him pick 150, 155 on Underdog. I think he should be going more in the 125, 130 range, especially in light of this Zach Moss news.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. It's a shame. I kind of liked where Moss was going, but now not so much, obviously. But we'll see. Plenty of other stuff, other times still to come. Darren Waller hasn't practiced 8 straight days. I haven't seen today's report yet, so I don't know about today, but we don't know why, first of all. That bugs me, and that's sort of this time, which means it could be like the infamous Jamal Charles carted off. Oh, he sat in the front seat of a golf cart, or it could be actually something real. I don't know what to do with him. Where are you on him?
Yeah, I'm with you. I've been, I think, a little different than the market in that I prefer George Kittle over Darren Waller. So I haven't been getting a ton of him as is. And then you factor in this uncertainty with his injury, which, like you said, it's undisclosed. That seems really weird to me. We haven't gotten many reports about it. And the whole case for Darren Waller is this volume case. Like, yeah, he's an athlete, but this isn't going to be a great offense. It's just he's going to get peppered with targets. I think there are some other factors working against him, even aside from the injury. I mean, Bryan Edwards, I think, is a guy who could take a step forward this year. Henry Ruggs, I think, could also have a second year bounce back. They bring in John Brown. They want to establish the run there with Kenyon Drake now there as well. So I don't know if he's going to see the massive volume he did last year. Then you throw in uncertainty around his health. And I want George Kittle over him right now in drafts.
Yeah, and I take the receivers that fall in that range too at ADP over him now, because I might have done it anyhow. Like, I'm taking AJ Brown ahead of him. It's whether I take McLaurin, Keenan Allen. That's where I kind of now I've kind of slid him back behind those guys too.
Yeah, that is a tough decision once you're – yeah, I agree with you. There's that little tier break after like Keenan and CeeDee Lamb right before McLaurin and Allen Robinson. And yeah, if you can get Waller there, I think that's still nice, just because in these best ball drafts, especially the kind of structural advantage you get from an elite tight end is really big. So I don't mind taking stabs on him. But if we don't start to hear some information in the next week or so, I think we should probably hit the panic button.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of Allen Robinson, he left with a slight hammy injury today. We don't know the full details on that. Probably won't for a little bit, but anytime you see a muscle injury from a receiver, you get worried a little bit here and there. He was scratched with a hammy issue. The question for him is, and there, I guess there's rain may have played a role in this too, a little bit, just maybe being a little overprotective. Now, the question for Robinson is this the year he finally gets a good quarterback? Is Andy Dalton going to play, first of all, over Fields, or is it going to be Fields right away? And is Fields that much of a leap ahead of what he's had before?
Yeah, I do think there's lots of unknowns with this situation. Matt Nagy has been pretty stubborn in saying that Andy Dalton is the starter. We continue to see these incredible throws by Justin Fields out of training camp, and it does truly boggle the mind to not start him week one. But I do think we're heading there. That said, I think the change is going to happen pretty quick. I feel like this is going to be a couple week little thing here. I don't know whether it's lip service or whatever, paying respects to the veteran, but I think we get Fields there soon. And I do think he's a massive, massive upgrade over anything Allen Robinson has ever had. I do think, though, we see these different kind of quarterbacks come in that are rushing quarterbacks. And the question is, sometimes they're so good that he's not going to lock in to Allen Robinson and pepper him with 12 targets a game. If he's the best version of himself, he's probably going to be sprinkling it in to Cole Kmet and Darnell Mooney. And they have the speedster now, Marquise Brown, the slot guy, Daz Newsome. So that's going to be interesting, but clearly Allen Robinson is still the best wide receiver here. And I think he's set for a great year. I think when you take him at his ADP, you're getting a nice floor. I don't know if Allen Robinson could be like a late first, early second round pick next year. That seems like it would be a big leap for him, but I don't mind mixing in Allen Robinson right now, assuming he's healthy.
I was going to follow up. Is that a priority? Are you looking to find the guy that can be the first rounder next year? Is that something you're looking for in that range? Is that always in mind? Are you looking for that upside?
Yeah, and I can't take credit for this. This is something Sean Siegel over at RotoViz, another guy part of the RotoPass network that I get to write about a lot in the newsletter. And this is something he really takes a look at. There was also an interesting thread. Sam Hoppen actually looked at if Dynasty ADP was like a better predictor for redraft success with that same thing in mind. We're trying to draft the guys who are going to be first round dynasty picks next year. And I think, you don't want to swing too far in that other direction, but I do think it helps illustrate the type of players we want to target, because I think in general fantasy managers, sometimes they want to get small hits and small misses. And I'd rather have, big hits and big misses. And so that's why I'm willing to chase a lot of these younger upside guys, where if things do break right, you get the next Justin Jefferson, the next T. Higgins. So I like having that in the back of my mind when I draft.
I do too. And something Chris Liss and I talk about all the time on the show. I want to go on that topic just a little bit more, but first a quick note from our title sponsor, WynnBET. If there's one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire, it's making good decisions, and even more so, making the right decision. Listen up, folks. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WynnBET, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WynnBET is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. WynnBET brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? Head into WynnBET's digital casino and take a spin on roulette, double down in blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at baccarat. WynnBET is currently available in 6 states, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia, while rapidly expanding. At WynnBET, the possibilities are limitless. WynnBET is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WynnBET now. That's WYNNBET. WynnBET, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's fantasy podcasts. I'm Jeff Erickson here with Pete Overzet from his YouTube channel, the Pete Overzet YouTube channel, and the Fantasy Life newsletter. I caught your appearance on Pat Mayo's pod, and you're talking how this was before the injury to Bateman, unfortunately, but you're talking about how you are finding yourself liking a lot of the rookie wide receivers. You're looking for that swing, the big swing. I've noticed it's always with wide receivers that you're looking for with these guys. Is that just your bias? Is that the way you prefer to draft?
Yeah. I mean, I still like taking big swings with running backs as well, but I feel like the opportunity cost of doing that in those mid rounds is much higher because the wide receivers offer, I think, higher floors and higher ceilings in a lot of cases. So I want to be aggressive in taking big swings with every pick I make, but in general, I feel more comfortable taking my big cuts at running back later in the draft. We've talked, for years about kind of the injury rates and the bust rates for these running backs. That said, I do still want exposure to some of these mid-round guys. I think this is a unique year in that the term the dead zone has become like a popular water cooler topic, and that generally is referring to the running backs in rounds 3 through 5, 3 through 6, who their projectable volume looks good on paper, but in reality and with the chaos of the season might be a little bit misleading. That said, I think this year, some of those guys like DeAndre Swift and J.K. Dobbins are really, really attractive dead zone running backs. And then I also am very intrigued by the rookies, Javonte Williams and Travis Etienne. So as much as I generally prefer the wide receivers in those range, I do force myself to get exposure because all four of those guys I mentioned have the profile to be a first round pick next year.
I was going to follow up and say, do you have much Etienne in your profile there, or if you're underweight on him? But how about Trey Sermon? Does he qualify as that sort of upside too?
Yeah, for sure. And I think Trey Sermon is nice because he can fit in a couple different builds. You know, if you start with your two running backs early and then you draft a lot of wide receivers, you can come back and get Trey Sermon in the 7th or 8th as your third running back. I also think he fits with zero RB builds. You hammer pass catchers, you then grab, you know, your Gaskin or, you know, a guy like that, and then come back and have Sermon as your second running back. And all the reports out of training camp are that he's picked up the playbook really quickly. He's catching passes. I really think that he could be used interchangeably with Raheem Mostert right out of the gate. The team has already said that they want to run the ball 500 times this season. So if he's in a 50-50 in a run-heavy offense while they get Trey Lance up to speed, I think he could be a really big fantasy asset.
Yeah, I think so too. And the question is, I mean, I think the Niners are going to use both these guys. I don't think you're going to get the bell cow back with them. You're going to get a good partial share, and then you have to worry what happens when Wilson comes back, or if Elijah Jenkins is worth anything at the end of this. You know, they got him with his pretty interesting measurables coming out of the combine too. So I worry about that a little bit, but man, I like the talent of both these guys. In fact, I don't mind getting Mostert even later.
Yeah, I'm with you. I do end up with more Mostert just because he's cheaper. And again, I often think about the kind of type of production you need in your build. I do feel more comfortable with Mostert with that right out of the gate production. I think he is going to earn more carries and probably going to get their first touch and have first crack at a lot of this stuff. But as I see the season going on, we know Mostert isn't a picture of health. Trey Sermon feels like one of those guys who could just finish so strong down the stretch. So if I am in a zero RB build and I need those touches right out of the gate, I am often grabbing a Mostert, a James Conner, because I do think they're going to be involved. But then in the true upside builds, or if I already have a couple running backs early and I don't need that early production, I do want to swing for the fences with a guy like Sermon.
Yeah. He's, you know, it's going to be fun to watch to see how that works out with that. Speaking of the Niners though, do we see Justin Fields first, or do we see Trey Lance first? Who's out there first?
I think it's going to be Trey Lance, because I think Kyle Shanahan is a less stubborn, you know, more forward-thinking coach than Matt Nagy. And I think Kyle Shanahan wants to win at all costs, and he doesn't really care about anything other than that. And even though he might be paying lip service right now to Jimmy Garoppolo, I think when the chips are on the table, he is going to say Trey Lance gives us the best chance to win. He is our starter. And because they have such a good kind of infrastructure there, a great line, a good defense, good running game, I think you can throw a rookie in there without worrying that they're going to be completely overwhelmed. And we've already seen him neuter an offense for Jimmy Garoppolo. He played to Jimmy's skill set. And I think once Kyle Shanahan starts dreaming up the things he can do with this offense with Trey Lance, I think it's going to be wheels up for him. And I just feel like Matt Nagy's a little more old school, wants the rookie to pay his dues, wants to prove it, wants to see Dalton fail before he pulls the plug. So I'm leaning Lance there.
Yeah, I am too. I don't have a lot of either so far. I think I am definitely going to find myself, especially as the hype increases with Lance, that I probably will end up a little bit more. I saw in your newsletter today that he pairs pretty well with Kirk Cousins, actually. And I know I'm not giving proper attribution. It wasn't
Levitan. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Adam Levitan brought that up, that they pair pretty well in best ball if you get both of those guys.
Yeah, and I like doing that. You know, some of these veteran quarterbacks, and this is happening in managed leagues too. Like I've been doing these FFPC drafts, and you'll have guys like Matt Ryan on the waiver wire, Sam Darnold on the waiver wire. Darnold's actually another one who has a really good schedule to start. So I love that strategy of like, take your big swing on Trey Lance or Justin Fields. If they don't hit, well, no problem. Like quarterback is such a replaceable position. You can get baseline production from a late QB. And if they do start week one, well, incredible. Then you can cut your backup quarterback and you can go on your merry way. So I really think the rookie quarterbacks are a bit of a cheat code this year. It's just rare for us to be able to get this kind of upside this late in drafts, especially considering we've now seen a movement after last year where all these really good mobile QBs have gotten way pushed up. Like these guys didn't used to go in the fifth, sixth round like they are now. We had our, you know, JJ late round QB pushing them all down. They smash, they move up, but now everyone is kind of hesitant because of the unknown of these rookies.
Yeah, that's right. It's interesting to see that. That's why I've been banging the drum for more super flex leagues, just because of this factor. Just because it drives me crazy that everybody thinks that, well, not everybody, but most everybody thinks Cleveland's going to be awesome this year, right? And that Baker Mayfield's a solid league average quarterback, but he never gets even drafted in managed leagues, you know, or if he is, he's like QB 20, QB 22. But in a super flex league, you know, that sort of floor matters a lot more all of a sudden. I wish we could see that a little bit more. I'm begging Greg and Tom from the NFFC to add a Superflex contest because do you play in many of those format leagues?
Yeah, I just did a draft the other night. It was the Draft Sharks Invitational, and it was a 25 round Superflex tight end premium draft. And I really love those formats. Just like you said, it really stretches. I can sleepwalk through these underdog drafts now because I just know the scoring settings. I know the format, the ADP, but these, when you're in those and you have all those decisions where you can make a case for every position for pretty much every round. I like that. I do think in general, in those super flex leagues, that quarterbacks are undervalued. RotoViz has done a lot of research in that specific format that three QBs by rounds five or six yield the highest win rate. So just by giving yourself those three really solid options, you're kind of giving yourself a few extra percentage points of edge against the room. And then the other thing I did in that draft is I generally just punt running back two. I like getting that anchor. I took Jonathan Taylor late in the second round. This was with the Wentz kind of uncertainty, and then grab all my wide receivers and quarterbacks and then worry about running back two late in those drafts.
Yeah, I like that method. I like it quite a bit. I'm going to do a salary cap league, auction, whatever you want to call it, in a super flex format. And you know, coming up, I got a couple of those coming up. And I think I'll probably take a similar approach. I love that idea of the three quarterbacks early.
Yeah. And you can, I think one other thing about super flex is you got to read the room. And sometimes it can be hard, but you can push it sometimes. If the room is collectively agreeing to deprioritize quarterbacks, you can push it to round six, seven. I think in this one, I took Taysom Hill in the seventh or eighth as my third QB because the room wasn't being as aggressive. And I was like, all right, I'm going to scoop up a couple more wide receivers I like here before I go back. But if the room's being super aggressive, I don't think I want to play that game of chicken. I do think I want to make sure I get that quarterback I feel comfortable with.
I like that. We're going to take a quick note here from our friends at Otternew. Otternew Fantasy Football lets you build your fantasy football dynasty like a real GM. It's better fantasy football. Auction-based, deep rosters, and college player prospects. Stash the next rookie of the year while he still is tearing up Saturdays. Trade for superstars to make a championship push. Develop a team over multiple years. Play against the best fantasy football competition on the internet. Visit Otternew, OTTONEU.com today. I'm Jeff Erickson here with Pete Overzet. We are talking also on things fantasy football. Pete, you mentioned just how you can do, you know, the underdog ADP in your sleep. How many drafts have you done so far?
I'm well over 200 drafts right now because they have the Best Ball Mania tournament with the 1 million up top. They did the $5 puppy draft that filled in like a week and a half. I got like 100 entries in that. And then they just launched their second puppy tournament, which is going to fill in the next few days. So I think I'm going to end up with 100 in there. So I don't know. By the time the season ends, I'll probably be looking around somewhere between 300 to 350 drafts.
Nice. That's a good thing those aren't managed leagues.
Oh man, I would no. I can't even fathom.
That's amazing. I love that this has come out there. They've come out there and done that. You know, you know, I loved it when there was draft. You know, I love that app too. It's good stuff. I love doing that. You talk, and I've seen a lot of talk in the last week or two, probably longer, but at least in the fantasy football Twitter sphere about efficient drafting as it pertains to best ball more likely than it was in managed leagues. But what does that mean to you? What an efficient draft is?
Yeah, to me, what I've been thinking about, and I wrote about this in the beginning of the newsletter the other day, is, you know, there's always the wars on Twitter, the zero RB, the robust RB, all that stuff. What I've really crystallized around is that there's no bad way to start your draft. There's only bad ways to mess it up. And I think that if you want to start your draft with three running backs, you can 100% do that. But then you need to make decisions the rest of the draft that assume you were correct in making those three positions. I think people in general are so often drafting scared, or they want to draft a balanced team. They want to draft a roster that they post on Twitter and everyone says, oh, look how beautiful and nice that is. But in truth, the teams that win, think about DFS lineups, right? It's when you have the low owned guy at 2% that goes off and everyone goes, how did you know to play that guy? Well, it's the same thing with these leagues. You're taking risks knowing that the reward outweighs, you know, the downside there. So to me, an efficient draft is just building within the structures in a smart way and thinking about your draft capital that you're deploying. And whenever you use that draft capital early, that means you can use less of it later. So if you want to take Mahomes in the fourth, I don't do that a lot, but knock yourself out. But maybe don't take your second quarterback until the last round. Grab a really cheap Taysom Hill to pair him with. So often I see people do that and then come back and grab Russell Wilson in the eighth. And it's like, you already made your bet that you want to use Patrick Mahomes' score every week. Now draft right as if you are correct.
Yeah, that's huge. That is absolutely huge. And the other thing you'll see is like, well, I'm going to have eight running backs, but I also drafted three early. No, don't do that.
Exactly. Yeah. Mike Leone's done a lot of good stuff over at ETR looking at the win rate stuff. And what he kind of says is you can draft them early, but you can't draft them often. Like you can pick one or the other. If you want to go zero RB and you want to get seven or eight running backs late, go for it because you need to make up for your lack of firepower with volume. But yeah, people just sometimes they can't help themselves. And I'm guilty of this on the flip side. I love drafting wide receivers. And sometimes I look at a nine wide receiver team. I'm like, I'm gilding the lily here. I do not need this ninth wide receiver on this build, but I just love wide receivers so much.
Well, Pat Corain from NFBC was in the same Razz Bowl league with me, and I was right next to him. And I went with one running back and a bunch of receivers. He went like, I think, seven or eight right off the top, plus a tight end. And, you know, it's just it was kind of frustrating being right next to him because I could tell he had this concrete plan. He knew what he was doing and all that. And unfortunately, I was fishing from the same pool frequently. At least I think I was. But, you know, it's just seeing that. And I know you did a great video with your Uncle Sam video trying to get people to draft more running backs so you could stop this wide receiver push.
Yeah, I do a show with Corain and Ben Gretsch called Ship Chasing, kind of focuses on high stakes fantasy football leagues. But this summer, just because of the kind of, you know, monstrous interest in best ball, we focused on best ball for a good stretch of the past month. And because all of us are kind of so radical with our, you know, pushing our wide receiver agenda, I mean, we can't take, you know, full credit for it, but the puppy rooms and the ADP did legitimately seem to shift a bit to where, I mean, we had Calvin Ridley going at 104 in drafts. Like it went too far is what happened. And so I thought it would be a funny bit to be like, okay, all of us are having our wide receivers go way too early. We can't even draft how we like now because the ADP has been blown up. I needed to launch a propaganda campaign to shift things back over.
Yeah. So check out Pete's timeline. It's a great video. It was awesome. I thoroughly enjoyed it, but check it out there. So I was just going to ask you, how much has the crowd shifted? I guess it's pretty strong there. You know, because, you know, let's face it, you know, I think a lot the fantasy football as a community really pushes the early running backs. You know, I think the first SiriusXM had a draft right after the NFL draft, and it was 13 of the first 14 picks were running backs. And I think that's starting the pendulum starting to swing back a little bit.
Yeah, it is interesting. I think about this a lot too, where people just, I think like running backs more than wide receivers. And I don't know if it goes back to just when we all started playing fantasy football, you know, some people playing way before me. I remember my first year was, I believe it was 2008. And I had like a D'Angelo Williams team. That was when he just went nuclear in the fantasy playoffs. It's like, we are all born into loving these running backs, wanting the LaDainian Tomlinsons on our teams. So I get it from that perspective, but with the PPR scoring formats, with all the data that's come out, you really see how, and how the league is shifting right now in favor of a lot of these offenses going super pass heavy. It's just really hard to match the kind of ceiling that these elite wide receivers and good offenses can give you. And, you know, that's why a guy like Stephon Diggs last year was a league winner, because he was going late, a stud wide receiver in a great situation. And we all missed it in a lot of spots. So yeah, I do think there's a shift happening now. The data in the analytics is so good. And still, there are lots of different ways to skin a cat. Fantasy football is not a solved game. But in general, I feel like the data points to focusing on wide receivers early.
Yeah, and the type of data that we're using now is so much more, so much different than it was 10, even 5 years ago. Baseball seemed like they were ahead for a while. I think football's kind of caught off in that. And, you know, I do a lot in both. So you start to see now football, it's really a data heavy sport now.
Yeah, it is. It is on. I'm glad that I have my lane of doing more, you know, writing and comedy and entertainment, because the amount of incredible data analytics around fantasy right now, it's absurd. Even from when I started playing more seriously in 2013-14 was when I started my first dynasty leagues. I mean, we're light years ahead of that. The tools, the research, it makes it very fun. I think we're all approaching this almost from a scientific level at this point.
It is. It really is. It's fun to see. And to me, it's a lot to digest, because, you know, you're right. It's not a solved problem, but we had our method. We had our thing that worked, and now it's getting challenged. And I want it to stay this way. I don't want to have to change my methods. But the fact is, if you don't get ahead like that, try to find the next new thing, you're going to fall behind pretty quickly.
Yeah. And that is the thing too, about all this stuff. And you mentioned like with the tides changing, like if every single person in the room said, I'm going to draft wide receivers early, the running backs would become the best bets. Like it's a dynamic thing. It's not a static, you know, rule. And that's why I like to be very reactive in my draft rooms. You know, I'm not reaching for a J.K. Dobbins or DeAndre Swift, but when they're at ADP or falling past ADP, I'm then allowing the room to kind of dictate, all right, this is now a better pick because all the wide receivers got pushed up.
Which leads me to my next question. What's more important, player analysis or draft strategy when you're trying to get that efficient draft or trying to get that method that kind of gets you ahead of the crowd? It's underdog. You're going through a best ball format. What's more important to you, having a proper strategy or having the proper player analysis?
To me, it's strategy above everything. And again, I mentioned Leone, who was looking at the win rates for the best ball stuff. And you would see really smart structures, whether that was a hyper fragile, which is where you take three early and then wait and not draft anymore, an anchor, you draft one early, wait for your second, or zero RB. Those structures all yielded very high win rates. But what was funny is within those structures were common players that weren't very good. Like Josh Jacobs and Todd Gurley were on a lot of the hyper fragile teams. Eno Benjamin, who did nothing last year for the Cardinals, was a high win rate player on zero RB. And to me, I think that proves that living within these structures is what gives you the advantage. And sure, you need to hit on the players, but that's actually a secondary concern to just building in a smart way.
Yeah. And I think there's thousands of outlets for you to try to analyze a player. So I think, and many of them free. And so I can see where it's hard to get an edge and saying, well, I've got the goods on this guy. There's no such thing as the unknown player now, it seems like.
Yeah, and information is so good now too. And, you know, maybe back in your home league 5 years ago, you could read a report that one of them missed. These days, it doesn't happen. Like, we see the ADP change in real time. There's one athletic report about Joe Burrow looking tentative, coming back from injury and not looking great in camp. He drops two rounds in ADP promptly. Like, the market is so good now at being on top of this information that where are our edges? I mean, it's very small. It's the structural drafting. It's being willing to take on more risk in your player selections than other people. But like you said, I mean, fantasy footballers on the whole are very, very sharp, especially the ones drafting right now, you know, a month right before the season starts.
I did a I did an NFFC one online championship on July 31st, and I think it was the 30th, excuse me. On that day, there was a Florio report saying that sports books were taking the Packers' futures odds offline, and there was a speculation that Rodgers might retire. To show you how on top of everything it was, Rodgers dropped to like the 11th round in that draft. Nobody like drafted him in his normal spot. It's just like everybody knew the news.
Yeah, there's no discounts when the news happens. But going back to the uncertainty thing, my whole thought on the Packers situation was we had all this stuff early on, like back in February and March. It looked right like he was going to just retire and host Jeopardy. And I understood the concern then. But as far as every day since then that he didn't do any of that or retire or get traded, I thought it became more and more likely that he returns, just the most likely outcome. And yet the ADPs didn't reflect that. You know, Davante Adams was still sometimes going in the early third in these underdog drafts because people were so spooked. And same now recently with the Wentz injury. Jonathan Taylor was going 107, 108. We get the Wentz injury. There's some uncertainty on his timetable. You're getting Jonathan Taylor at the 2-3 turn. There's some Christian McCaffrey teams that have Jonathan Taylor. And I think that's where the edge is not overreacting to this news and really taking the discounts, even though it feels gross. You feel like, well, what if they play Sam Ellinger all year and I'm stuck holding right Jonathan Taylor? Well, at 212, you can handle that risk at that point.
Right, right. And same thing with Quentin. I think the combo package of the Wentz and Quentin Nelson was just enough. Like, I think that for me, it was the lineman actually that spooked me a little bit more, but you're absolutely right. It is really kind of letting the market overreact sometimes and swooping in, but it's tough to be able to do that. It really is. Sometimes you get caught up in it. I let Rodgers drop a couple of times when I probably should have taken him. I feel pretty bad about that actually.
Yeah.
Quick note here from our friends at Dynasty Owner. Are you tired of the same old fantasy football leagues that get canceled after a year or so? If so, Dynasty Owner has your back. Go to dynastyowner.com. New leagues for the 2021 season are forming now. Dynasty Owner unites the fun and excitement of fantasy football with the skill and strategy of the front office by incorporating a salary cap and real NFL player salaries for the diehard fantasy football fans that want the real GM experience. Dynasty Owner adds a whole new level of strategy. Are you worried that you won't be able to find anyone to play in your league with? Don't worry. Dynasty Owner can help you fill your league with fantasy football enthusiasts like yourself. You won't have to worry about finding enough players. You can choose to start a league, join an existing, or purchase a team from a previous owner. If you're serious about joining the big leagues, go to dynastyowner.com/rotowire and start your dynasty today. I'm Jeff Erickson here with Pete Overzet. Pete has an awesome YouTube channel. When did you get that started, Pete?
Yeah, I started it a long time ago. I do this alter ego character named Pete Manzanelli, and that was kind of the impetus for starting it. Then I kind of shelved it for a while and then kind of came back and was like, all right, let's get rid of the character. Let's try to just do some fantasy content here. And I now kind of just pursue my interests. I think if the YouTube algorithm was trying to figure out my YouTube channel, they might be a little confused. Because I do some NFT stuff, I do DFS, fantasy, you know, all the kind of across the spectrum of I don't know, sports speculation, I guess you could say. So yeah, it's fun and it's been really good. And kind of tying that to my Discord community has been really great. And YouTube's tough. It can be a grind at times. So I just try to only do things that are fun and interesting to me, and then let the chips fall where they may.
You know, it's funny because you said earlier how it's tough to find a lane. You know, this our highway has gotten super crowded. It's now the 405 out here. Yeah. It's great. There's just so many great voices to hear from. But you know, I feel bad for anyone that's trying to get into the business now because there's a risk of redundancy. You know, it's already been done. How do you find something new? How do you get great at it without being in, like anybody else out there?
Yeah, I think the trap people fall into is they say, okay, I see you, I don't know, doing RotoWorld blurbs, RotoWire blurbs, or I see you having your podcast, and they're like, I want to do that exact thing. And it's like, well, there's already people doing that, and right, they're entrenched, they have a first mover advantage. you're going to have to be really, really good to be better than them. So to me, the kind of two things are find something that the space is lacking. What is something unique thing? I've kind of just decided, you know, I'm going to try to do a comedic, entertaining spin on a lot of this stuff. Say, if you were an offensive line guru, how many offensive line gurus do we have now? I know of like Brandon Thorne at ETR, but that's about it. So I don't know, maybe that's your passion. Well, it seems like there might be a void for that. So like you said, it's getting harder to find something unique, but I still think you can. And it's important too, to know that I don't think you necessarily want to just sell fantasy football information. We just talked about how omnipresent it is. You want to sell something else, whether that's a community, whether that's your personality, whether that's access that you're willing to give people, whatever that is. I think you need to be willing to lean into it, because the meritocracy of getting fantasy football information, it's like you said, it's so saturated right now.
When did you start playing fantasy football?
Yeah, I remember I joined a league my junior year of college. I had played fantasy basketball in high school. I used to go to the library, and Yahoo had those teams, and I didn't have enough time to draft one, but they had an auto draft thing where you just click it and it spits out the rosters. And me and my buddy would do it like a slot machine and be like, oh, this one doesn't have Paul Pierce, I don't like this one. but yeah, football was 2008 was when I first started playing.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, man, I'm feeling old now. but that's all right. I do that every day. I just turned 50 this year. And the thing is, I just love hearing the backgrounds. Did you have a bunch of friends that you got into a football league with? What's been your favorite format to play? How did you really get into it now?
Yeah. I started, just like a lot of people do, with some home leagues, some work leagues, stuff like that. It was when I decided to co-manage a dynasty team with one of my buddies. That's when I really got the hook, because once you make that shift from just playing, during football season to thinking about football in March, that is like, once you take the red pill and you go down the rabbit hole there. So that was a big shift. And then, since then with best ball too, it just kind of bridges the whole calendar. And I love how they feed into each other. Like coming from dynasty into best ball, I feel more prepared for which of these rookies I want to target. And then when you roll from best ball drafts into my FFPC and high stake drafts, I'm feeling very comfortable about the textures of draft boards, the kind of teams I like to construct. So I like how they all feed into each other, man. My favorite, I do really enjoy aspects of all of it, like co-managing the high stakes teams that I do with Pat Corain, who you mentioned. That's just such a fun dynamic. And we've kind of shared that process with the people over at Ship Chasing. But as far as just myself drafting, I mean, it doesn't get any better than best ball. You just get that dopamine rush. You fire off as many as you want and don't have to touch it or worry about it the rest of the year.
Awesome. What were you doing for your profession before this?
Yeah. As of a few months ago, I was working at a software company. I did marketing for them, just typical, lots of writing stuff, public relations for a small software company. So we took it as far as we could. I got way too busy with fantasy stuff this year. And I said, all right, let's just go for it.
Nice. That's awesome. And you jumped into Fantasy Life, doing the Fantasy Life newsletter with Matthew. Some great stuff there. Was that this spring that you started doing that?
I actually did it last year.
No,
it's fine. Like, we were both like figuring out a lot of stuff. It was kind of almost like a trial year for us to kind of, for me to find my voice. I had done like a lot of writing for my day job as a copywriter, but I hadn't done a lot of writing in fantasy. And so it was experimenting, kind of figuring out the format and stuff. And so we didn't promote it a ton last year outside of Matthew's, you know, massive, you know, Fantasy Life list. But this year we upped the production on it. We're upping the frequency. And I think it's a really good product. I do really think if you're a sicko like us, who's hanging out on Twitter all day and you're reading every RotoWire blurb, you pretty much are on top of stuff. But for the people that don't have time to do this, I think this newsletter is a really good way to just catch you up to speed. I'm going to make sure you don't miss anything important, and you get it in your inbox every morning for free.
Yeah, you're crushing it. And I love how you're bringing in a lot of different voices while you're doing that too, and pointing to that. And you've alluded to like Sean, for instance, or Pat, and all the smart people in this community, and the ever-growing community. It's amazing to see just how many really, really smart people are dedicating their lives to this.
Yeah, and I want to shout out RotoWire too, because I lean on you guys a lot for going through your blurbs. You guys have been doing the daily training camp updates. That's also one of my checks. I go through, do my stuff, then I go read that and see, were there any important things I missed in here that I should pass along? So you guys are doing great work staying on top of all of that news as well. And you guys are a huge resource for me when I write the newsletter.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I liked how you pointed out Jim Coventry's article. He's been crushing it for us this year, and I'd like to see him get some pub like that. So that was really cool to see. We had one question from a listener. Brandon asks, which Rams wide receiver benefits the most from Matt Stafford joining him? Is it one of the big two, or who is it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And in general, I do think that these pass catchers are undervalued relative to the addition of Matthew Stafford. I mean, they're going essentially at the same spots they were in drafts that they were last year with Jared Goff. And it's like, we have a huge quarterback upgrade here. And it's even more condensed, I think, because we have Gerald Everett out. They ran a ton of two tight end sets last year. So, man, it is tough, but I think Cooper Kupp is my favorite right now. I think the profile of the Robert Woods type, I like him. But I'd rather grab Tyler Boyd or Jarvis Landry at a much cheaper cost. But man, I think this is going to be an awesome setup for Cooper Kupp. I think he's going to be a priority red zone target for Matthew Stafford. I think this team's going to score a ton of points. I think they're going to be up tempo. And I think he can be kind of the target hog in this offense, getting 8 to 10 targets a game in an offense that's going to score a lot. So to me, the guy who's going to benefit the most is Cooper Kupp.
I agree. I like Kupp a little bit better than Woods too. Even straight up, let alone for the cost. And it's so funny. They ran so many tight end sets because they were the original team 11, and you saw like Zach Taylor taking that with him to Cincinnati and trying to run the same. And, you know, their personnel kind of dictates that you need to run a lot of 11. They don't have much in the way of tight ends, but it's kind of funny how they went full circle. But good question, Brandon. Thank you for that. Pete, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I know you're a really busy man and you're doing a lot of great work. And it was a lot of fun talking with you today.
Yeah, no, this was great. Thank you for having me on. Definitely stay plugged into RotoWire and the Fantasy Life newsletter. And between us, you will not miss an important training camp blurb. I can tell you that much.
There you go. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks to WinBet for the sponsorship. Coming up tomorrow, we got John McKechnie and Mario Puig. Thanks for listening. Go subscribe to that Fantasy Life newsletter. It is truly awesome. Have a great day. Be back at you soon.